ready for this? Okay.
Yeah.
That was one of us, right? Yeah, okay. All
The dang, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
right,
not me.
we are starting to stream to my page, and then we're going to share it in Club Lulies, and then we can get started with tonight's program. I'm excited for it. Who else is excited? And what are you excited for? What are you excited to hear about specifically tonight as we do this? All right. I just streamed it into Club Lilies as well. And are y'all ready to go?
Do we have people saying where they're from?
Oh, can you guys not see the chat?
Oh, I can.
I
Nice.
can.
Yeah.
Oh,
We've
there we
got
go.
Houston,
Oh, I
Texas
see. Okay.
here.
Look
Long
at
Beach, New
Canada's
Jersey.
in the house. Yeah. Awesome. We're from
All
all
right.
over.
Ontario. Oh, there's several from
Yay.
Ontario. Lovely.
Love it. Here for the stories. Ilse's here for the stories. What else? Is anyone
Oh, hey, Tanya.
intrigued on becoming or writing your own memoir, your own book? Let us know about that too. All right. We're going to get started. Is everybody ready to go? Give me a thumbs up if you're ready to go. Awesome. Okay.
Ooh.
So, welcome for those. Oh, you, yeah. By the
I
way,
didn't mean to
when you go like this now on Zoom, we should all do that at the
that.
end. Everybody do that at the end.
That's awesome.
I see Carrie's like, where's mine? I don't know. You have to look.
Yeah,
All right. So, can everyone hear me okay? We're good on that. Yes. Let's be super interactive so this goes well, okay? Welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jamie Messina. I guess you can call me the founder of Club Lilies, where many of you have joined us from. And tonight, we actually have three lilies joining us for something very special. But you know, if you're not familiar with Club Lilies, basically we were originally created for the later in life lesbian community, and then kind of expanded for really anybody within the sapphic community who really just wants to connect, I guess, vibrate higher together and do really awesome things and network and make good friends all over the world. So that's been exciting as well. If you're part of Club Lilies, drop a one in the comments. I want to see how many of you are here with us. And yeah, let's be interactive tonight. I'm excited for this. So, who here is excited about Lesbian Visibility Week? Is this your first time out as a les in Lesbian Visibility Week? So basically, if you don't know what that is or why that is, this week is recognized and celebrated in several countries around the world as Lesbian Visibility Week, and it started in 2008 as Lesbian Visibility Day, but now it's recognized. We got a full week now, y'all. A full week, which is good. Maybe we'll get a whole month next time. But both in the US and the UK. And the goal of this week is to raise awareness of lesbian identities and topics, and really just celebrating the lesbian community. Now, this includes recognizing non-binary and trans individuals as well who identify as lesbian. Yay. Now, we have a few rules that I want to go over here tonight. Just so we can have this running smoothly and awesome, because there's going to be a lot of content in here and we have a lot of good things to share. And I want to make sure it goes well with all of us. And we get it all out and y'all get your questions answered and all of that. So, reminder, this event is for everyone. It's not just those identifying as lesbian, okay? But we ask that you are mindful that this event is meant to celebrate and support our lesbian community, okay? Sound good? Yay. Also, please stay on mute. I think we set it up so you actually can't unmute. So you if you want to unmute it when the question portion comes up, you're gonna have to ask during the Q&A. But if you happen to come off mute for some whatever reason, just mute yourself again. That could get really distracting for people if you're unmuted, dogs are barking, people are talking in the background. And if you can, keep your camera on, but if you don't want to be identified, keep it off, okay? You can change your name, keep your camera off. It's not necessary that your camera is on to be here with us, because this meeting, just so you know that y'all are aware, this meeting is being recorded. It's actually streaming live right now on my personal page and being streamed into the Club Lilies Facebook group as well. So if for whatever reason you don't want to be on camera, now is a good time to get off and go watch us maybe either the replay or within Club Lilies, because only people within that group can see who's watching in there. And it's also going to be recorded, and it is being recorded. Wait, I pressed record, right? Yeah. Okay, good. I did, right? Okay, we're just making sure. I tend to do that. And the replay will be made available. You'll be able to watch that over in the Club Lilies Facebook group. And I will also be sharing the audio portion on my podcast that we will share as well. And I will pass along if you've happened to come, if you found us through Jen, Melissa, and oh my God, Jillian. All right, we're moving along. All right, so now for the exciting part of the evening, we have three accomplished authors with us who all came out later in life. And I don't know if I already asked this, but if you are a later in lifer, late in lifer, tell us in the comments. And they all released their memoirs in 2023. So I would like now for if each of you could go through and just spend a few minutes introducing yourselves and letting us all know a little bit about who you are. We can start with Jen.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Jen Berlingo. My pronouns are she, her, and I live in Boulder, Colorado, which is predominantly on the homelands of the Cheyenne, Arapaho, and Ute nations. I am the author of Midlife Emergence, and I'm also a life coach, a licensed counselor, and an art therapist who supports women and non-binary people in midlife. And most of my clients are actually coming out or wanting to live more fully into their queerness later in life. I'm also the mom of a non-binary 17-year-old. And I came out, gosh, I come out truly over and over every day. but when I first came out to myself, I was a teenager and I thought I was bisexual because I was attracted to girls, but I had a boyfriend. And yeah, I came out to some friends and to my mom as bisexual when I was 22, but compulsory heterosexism kind of had a hold on me. And I married a wonderful man 4 years into our relationship and stayed married to him for 17 years. Then when I was 41, I'm 48 now, I realized I'm not bisexual. And I came out to my now ex-husband as a lesbian 7 years ago. And, you know, we separated about 4 years ago and we're still good friends. I published my book a year ago this month, and it's part memoir telling my whole story of stepping more fully into my queer identity. And it's also a part personal growth book using coaching and counseling expertise to invite the reader into journaling and art and ritual exercises at the end of each chapter. So that's a bit about me and my book.
Awesome. I love that. Cool. Thanks. All right, Jillian.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jillian Abbey, she, her pronouns. I am in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida, on the land of the Tocobaga people. And I am just really so excited to be here and be a part of this community. I call myself an accidental author. My book, Perfectly Queer, came out a year ago tomorrow. Tomorrow's the book birthday of Perfectly Queer. And I never set out with the intention of being an author. I started writing because I was at one of the lowest points in my life, and it was the most affordable therapy out there. And so really it was through the support of finding friends who wanted to know more about my story and also learning more about myself that it ended up becoming a book. And I'm so excited that it's out in the world now with everyone. So as far as my professional experience, I started as a CPA and then I became a licensed massage therapist and then I became a craft beer bar owner and now I write professionally full time. So, you know, normal linear path in life. And yeah, that's about it for now. I know we're going to get into questions more, but I'm so grateful that y'all are here and I can't wait that for us to keep making Lesbian Visibility Week bigger and better every year. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Melissa, and Melissa's coming to us from Provincetown right now, which is really cool. So Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am coming from Provincetown and I'm super excited to be here because Provincetown has become a little bit of a hub. We are doing Lesbian Visibility Week and just having a great time. All the events are going on successfully. They are well attended. And it's really cool to see. And I encourage everybody to mark this in the calendars for next year. But I am Melissa Guyberson. My book is Late Bloomer. And like Julian, I'm an accidental author also. I didn't set out to necessarily write a book, but I like writing. And I was going through my writings at the beginning of my journey and processing, because that's what I do, right? Good therapy, as Julian said. And the next thing you know, it's, you know, shaping up into a book. And I remembered all the people that helped me at the beginning of my journey. And I wanted to be that person for somebody else on their journey. I came out when I was 44. It was the first time I asked myself the question, am I gay? I was married to a man about 18, 19 years at that point. We have two kids, you know, the whole suburban life. And the book came out in August. The audiobook version will be coming out in May. And I know we are going to get more into conversation, so I'll keep it short. But I'm so super excited to be here with everybody. So let's have a good time tonight.
Yes, and we're excited to have you. All right, I have a question for y'all. How many of you, if you've read their books, give me a one in the comments, and then which books you've read, like their name. And if you haven't yet, drop a two, letting that, which tells us you're excited to, because anyone want to kick things off with a little raffle going on? We're going to be raffling off our first three pack of signed books. And we kind of discussed at the beginning, we'll probably, Jillian, I'm going to let you talk about that part, about where we're doing the different places. But first, we're going to raffle it off to anyone who has a mailing address. First of all, sorry if you were in the continental U.S. If you're not, don't look at me. But you can still get the book on your own, the books on your own. But we're going to raffle them off, and you will have a chance to win in the comments by typing in the comments why you joined us here today. So why did you join us here today? Type in the comments and we are going to pick a winner from there. And while we're waiting for the answers to roll in, telling your story can feel really vulnerable. Anyone else feel that? Anyone else share their story? It's incredibly vulnerable. I know that I've been there. But can each of you share a little bit about why, your why behind writing your books? Why did you choose to tell your story? I don't know, we can start.
Sure, with... I'd love to start out. For me personally, the experience felt incredibly lonely. And I felt like I was the only person on earth who was going through this. Me and Elton John. It's actually a chapter in the book. I was like, okay, I know Elton John was in a heterosexual marriage. And, you know, in my mind at the time, he was like living into his queerness so completely. And it's like, well, that's what I want to do. Okay, me, Elton John. Other than that, I must be completely alone. I don't know why I didn't think to use Google and, you know, find Club Lilies and other places out there. But so I started creating the book because I realized that how lonely the process can feel, and that there's a lot of part of the process that maybe we aren't comfortable talking about. There's things that are embarrassing for me sometimes to read in my book because it is very vulnerable and personal. But sharing it in writing felt more comfortable and safe. And I'm just so grateful that people have shared, like, thank you for sharing this part because I needed to hear that, or I haven't heard anyone talk about this. And so it's great that we can do that through the medium of writing or audiobooks, and that nobody else has to feel as alone.
Yeah, totally. I'll share next. I basically, similarly, I wrote the book I needed to read. It just wasn't out there. I wanted to combine, you know, my personal and professional experience of myself and the clients I was working with who, like me, are like recovering good girls, former people pleasers, who find themselves at midlife with a life they should be satisfied with and then wondering, like, is this all there is? So because I couldn't really find a resource like that when I was going through this almost a decade ago, I really wanted to create one that would help to validate people, you know, in this experience. So I started sharing snippets of my story on Instagram in early 2020, and I got hundreds of comments and private messages saying, me too, and this should be a book. And so I just decided to get working on it, and it became that. And I really just want to be a stand for making our raw and sometimes honestly inconvenient truth visible to each other. So yeah, it's been really rewarding to hear that feedback. Melissa?
Yeah, I'll piggyback both of those. When I was first figuring out that I was in trouble, meaning I knew something was happening in my world, it was turning upside down inside my body, I didn't understand it, I went looking for anything to help me. I went looking for people, I went looking on the internet, I went looking for a book. And I finally found one, and it had snippets from women that had gone through this experience that I was going through. And that was really validating. But as time went on and the story unfolds, it's a messy story. It's not, no pun intended, straightforward. You know, there's a lot of ebb and flow, and you can't just separate it from your life. Life goes on. You have kids, you have work, you've got a husband who's supportive, later on, not so much. You've got friends that are there, later on, not so much. And then you've got new people. And I ended up writing the story with all of the mess in it. I didn't want to sugarcoat the journey because life is messy. And there's a lot of grief in this unfolding, if you will, this diving into yourself and coming out into this new existence, but still holding on to those roots that you have. And so I wanted to put all the mess out there because I didn't want to sugarcoat it for anybody, but with the underlying message that you have to hold on to hope. And as long as there is hope and you keep going, you know, two steps forward, a couple steps back, keep going, you do get to the other side. And you find that love, whether it's in yourself, whether it's in the partner you were meant to be with. And, you know, they say the kids are resilient. They're right. I wanted to add the really good advice I had gotten along the way. I also wanted to add some of the not so good advice that I had gotten, fortunately, didn't always take. So I threw everything in there into a melting pot just for people who are on their own journey to know it's not easy, but you're not alone and you get through it. Just keep going.
Wow. So I just have to say, I personally am so grateful that all of you were vulnerable and shared your stories and wrote the books that you did. And I'm sure all of these comments coming through, all of you here, your reasons for being here tonight as well. Loving those. We actually do have our first winner, who is Vivian G in New Jersey. Jill is going to reach out to you to get your mailing address. So you are the winner of the books. Yay. Awesome. Cool. And I think we're going to be doing that a couple more times, right? So y'all, if you didn't win, don't worry. We have another chance coming up soon. But let's get into it. So this year's theme of Lesbian Visibility Week is unified, not uniform. So let's play a quick game with the three of you, okay? But also the audience to learn more about the ways in which our stories are similar and how we're also different at the same time. If you're on camera, I'm going to ask a question, and if it applies to you, raise your hand, or, you know, you can either, although, you know how they had the firework thing? If you hold your hand up long enough, I think something happens there too. So just raise your hand if your camera's on, or you could say me in the chat, raise your hand if this applies to you. And so we're going to ask some questions here, okay? And if this applies to you, raise your hand. So raise your hand if you came out in your 20s. Anyone? Mine was before 20. I was 18. Raise your hand if you came out in your 30s. 40s? 50s? Oh, I like that little noise it makes. 60s? Cool. Do we have anybody who came out in their 70s? All right. I saw something on TikTok the other day. A woman came out in her 80s and she was living her, she replied on my thing, met her partner in her 80s. And I thought that was awesome. All right. Raise your hand if you were married to a spouse who didn't align with your sexual attraction. Cool. Okay. Raise your hand if kids were involved. Okay. Raise your hand if religion was part of your story. Raise your hand if you lost family support. Yeah. Raise your hand if you gained support from surprising people and places. Yeah, cool. Raise your hand if your race, ethnicity, or culture played a role in your coming out. Okay. Raise your hand if compulsory heterosexuality played a role. I hear that term a lot. Uh-huh. All right. Raise your hand if internalized homophobia, transphobia, queerphobia played a role in your story. Raise your hand if perfectionism played a role. Julian, I was looking at you. Raise your hand if people pleasing played a role. Raise your hand, I like this question, if you had a catalyst. Raise your hand if you always knew you were gay, queer, lesbian. Always, but do. Raise your hand if you had doubts about your identity or your label. Raise your hand if people questioned your queerness when you came out. You hear that one a lot too. All right, we have one more question. Raise your hand if greater lesbian queer visibility would have helped you to come out sooner. I feel like everybody's raised their hand for that one. I love that last question. Jen, can you tell us more about how you may have benefited from others making their stories visible earlier in your life?
Yes. Gosh, if I had known more stories like mine, I might have felt more validated and safe and connected. But growing up in the time and place I did, I never really saw examples of queer people, especially women. There were plenty of like homophobic slurs and just ignorant fears around it. And that's what I grew up hearing. So every single time I feel vulnerable about why I shared the most tender pieces of my story and my heart with the world, I remember my teenage self and my 20-something self who just felt so alone that she swallowed the inklings about her own sexuality, and just took that prescribed path and just did the thing that I was expected to do. So every week when I get, you know, DMs or emails or book reviews from readers, they help me remember that healing impact and the ripple out effect that visibility creates. And, you know, I just love hearing the beautiful stories of other people who were inspired by the safety they felt because, you know, other people are sharing their stories like I did, like Jill, like Melissa and others. And that just brings tears to my eyes. So I'm so glad. I definitely benefited from, or would have benefited from, books like ours when I was younger.
Oh, me too. 100%. They did not exist when I was younger.
No.
I would have loved that. Things would have been a lot easier for me, or at least I wouldn't have alone like the way that I did. Melissa, I have a question for you now. Could you share a little bit about your writing process? How did it feel to reflect back on things that happened in your life and your journey thus far?
So I'm a person that it's challenging. I'll start with that. It's challenging to look back, but I'm constructed that way. I'm always reflecting back because it's like a spiral staircase. You know, at each point, you're at a different place, looking through a different lens, a different perspective. I like to think with more wisdom. And so I'm always revisiting. But it is challenging to look back with that wisdom now. But it's a process. It's an ongoing, it doesn't end. I think we learn so much from looking back from wherever we are. And so I'm always reflecting back. I'm continuing to write about it, to grow from it. And I think that the key is to have patience, to have curiosity, and a lot of grace. A grace for yourself, what you didn't know, and grace for others as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Let me ask y'all a question. Anyone get cold feet or a little fearful before they came out? I know that I do. Or every time you come out. So, yeah, I know that I did. Jillian, this question is for you. I had the pleasure of kind of interviewing Jillian when her book did come out a year ago. And so I know a little bit about this, but you had a lot of fears that came up when it got close to putting your story out into the world. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny that when you put out a book, I think there's the expectation that your book baby is finally in the world and it's so exciting and it's so wonderful. And the reality is it is, and Jen and Melissa, you can chime in here, but like I was a, what I will call a bucket of emotions, like any emotion you could feel, I felt that. There was the terror of the fact that my story was going to be out in the world. And I was pulling other people in my life up on stage with me. And I hoped that I was being honorable to them in the way I was telling the story. I felt an intense responsibility to my community to represent us well and to, you know, make sure that I was being very honest in the story, but trying to educate myself also as much as possible about the community I was joining and the work that was done before me to get here. You know, Franco's on this call right now. Sorry, Franco, I'm going to give you a shout out on here because there's a documentary on Netflix right now called Ahead of the Curve, and I encourage you all to watch it because Franco's part of that group who has made that storytelling and that visibility so much easier for the rest of us. So when the book was actually coming out, I wanted to feel just happy. And instead, actually, for the first time in my life, I started having panic attacks. And I would be in the shower like, what is going on right now? Or I'm trying to do laundry. What is going on right now? And I think that was really surprising as an author. So if there is anyone else out there who is thinking of putting out a book and you're starting to feel some of those fears, all I can say is that's normal. And that's actually part of the process. And it's not just when you're writing a book about being part of the LGBTQ plus. For I think for any author who has gone through that path, there is this fear of, will this book live up to my hopes for it? And, you know, there's nothing like having a book out in the world, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to just piggyback for a second because I agree with everything you just said. And it is uncomfortable. And I was told by many, many authors, it should be uncomfortable. If you're doing it and you're putting it out there, you're going to feel uncomfortable. And that's okay. It's part of the process. But don't let that stop you. You know, your stories are needed. Our stories are needed. We benefit from them. So absolutely, if you have a story that needs to come out of you, I encourage you to do it. And we all need each other's stories.
And if I could just point out the big white cisgender elephant in the room also, when we were doing the hand raising game, if you may or may not have noticed, Jen, Melissa, and I raised our hand for a lot of the same types of things. And so us doing this conversation here today, actually, I wanted to bring us together to show that all of our books came out in the same year, and there was still space for all of our stories. And there is still plenty of space for your story too, if yours is like ours. And also there are differences and nuances to each of our stories that make them unique. And also we need more BIPOC stories, and we need more trans stories, and we need more representation from everywhere else in the community as well. So I don't want anyone attending here to think like you have to fit a certain mold in order to tell your story or be able to put your story out there, or that the market's too full for you already.
Absolutely. Jen, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
I did. I agree with everything Jill and Melissa just said. And I was thinking about the idea that there's this quote that I always see. I don't even know who said it. Your comfort zone will kill you. It does feel uncomfortable to put your story out there, but it's like pushing that growing edge to actually kind of change the paradigm, the old paradigms that aren't working, and just have more and more of these sorts of stories visible. I had a quote by Lizzie Rusinko by me the entire time I was writing, and it says, and I'm looking at the thing now, The story you're ashamed to tell is the one that will set you free. And I used that as my inspiration while I was writing. And I just wanted to add that to anyone who is thinking of telling their story as well. We need as much, as many stories and varieties of that as possible. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. All right. Who was bummed when they didn't win that raffle that we just did? Is anyone bummed? All right. Well, guess what? We have another opportunity right here. We're going to have another raffle for a signed 3-pack of books from our very talented authors. So it's open to anyone, again, who has a mailing address in the U.S. I'm sorry if there are Canadians and y'all. But so for a chance to win, type in the comments, what's one thing that has resonated with you so far that you've heard so far on this Zoom here? And while those answers roll in, again, what's one thing that's resonated with you? I would love for the three of you to share, what has the result been from sharing your stories? Like, was there anything that surprised you about putting your story out there to that larger audience? Jen, if you wanted to start.
Sure. Gosh, what surprised me? I mean, a lot of what Jill was saying about the anxiety piece, I definitely was an anxious wreck when my book was coming out, and really the month or so leading up to it. I was surprised at how much sleep I lost over the idea of sharing it with people who already knew me and loved me, more so than the larger audience of strangers. That wasn't nearly as big of a thing in my mind as like my nervousness about how it might impact my relationships with my family. And I also wanted this like freedom to evolve and change and be new for people who expected me to stay a certain person, because I'd always been that person for them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think about just, well, my favorite poet, who is actually also my neighbor here in Boulder, Andrea Gibson, says there's so much kindness in consistently asking, who are you now? And there's so much love in allowing people to be continually new to us. And I wanted that freedom. So I think I was nervous that I would have to stay sort of in these limited boxes that I had been in, and wondered how those relationships would evolve. So I guess that's what surprised me. Yeah, the result of sharing my story, I think I've talked about, but just the immense gratitude that I have for people who've read it and have offered their stories back to me, and offered, you know, reviews and comments that say, like, I'm not alone. You know, your story is all of our story, like that sort of feeling of resonance. I just feel such gratitude for that. And it helps me to feel more seen as well.
Awesome. Who else? Jillian.
I think the thing that really surprised me was who the story reached and what they did with it. And so what I got a message one day from a woman in the UK who said, I can't wait to share your book with my mom because you said the words that I've been trying to tell her for so many years. Mm-hmm. And it's things like that, where when we can give the language to another person who's in their messy middle or really in the thick of it, that just says, you know, here's my story, but I haven't put in a book yet, but you know, this one will give you a good idea of what's going on. Like, that is so meaningful to me. I've been really grateful for every single person who takes the time to send a message or reach out to me and let me know what resonated with them and what stood out to them. And it's always different too. It's very different sections of the book that, that they connected with. And I love that, because my story is not going to match any other person perfectly. So when we can find where that common thread is that connects us, and see ourselves reflected in a story, it's huge. I see Alicia just commented, representation matters, and mm-hmm. there's room for my story, was what she mentioned, and absolutely right. It's being able, it's been so wonderful to connect with so many people who are going through the same things, including a woman in Tennessee who is also a homeschooling mom, also a black belt martial artist, also came out at 38 and had 2 kids. I mean, we had so much in common that I was like, do I have a clone? I don't know. So anyways.
That's cool. Melissa.
I love that. I love both those answers. And I agree. I think what surprised me is who it reached and who reaches out to me. I love hearing from people as well. And there are people that have reached out to me and said, your story resonates. This is where I am. can you talk to me? Because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to pay it forward because strangers had responded to my call for help. And I wanted to be that for somebody else. So to be able to have a Zoom or have a coffee or, you know, meet with somebody who's early in their journey to let them know that they're on track, they're okay. It's not going to feel good all the time to keep going. They're not alone. That feels really good. So I love when people reach out to me. And I think what surprised me the most is hearing a story about a man who his daughter had gotten the book, but he ended up reading it. And he came out to his daughter and said, adult daughter. So his daughter was like 30. And so, do the math how old he is. And the message he said to his daughter was, I know this is her story, meaning me. I know she wrote her story, but it feels like she was talking to me and I want to live my true life too. And that has just, I've carried that with me that, you know, as a writer, but as a person, to be able to touch another person like that and have them look in the mirror and go, I can do better. I want to do better and take that leap of faith is just so incredible. So I carry that with me wherever I go.
Ooh, I just got chills from that. Anyone else? That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we have our next winner, Dawn Ellie Keller. You are the winner of the next 3-pack of books, and Julian will reach out for your address. And now we get to the fun part because y'all, we're going to open it up for a little Q&A from you. So if you have a question for one of our panelists tonight, you can type it into the comments now, and I will start asking them at random or, you know, whatever comes up first, as long as they're okay to ask, which I'm sure they all are. So anyone have any questions for our, I'm thinking of a question too. Oh, there we go. At what point in your journeys did each of you realize that your story needed to be told? Do we all want to answer this or does somebody want to like really feel compelled? Jillian?
I'm going to give a shout out to the life coaches in the room, looking at you, Jamie Messina, but my life coach was actually the one who really encouraged me to put my story out there. I had started writing it. I went on YouTube on my 40th birthday and said, I wrote a book and here's the first chapter. And that wasn't entirely true. I only had a few chapters at that point. And when it came to, there was a contest to enter, and I almost didn't submit to the contest because I doubted that my story was worth it. And I was like, well, who am I? I'm no Abby Wambach. I'm not, you know, I don't have a big name that anyone knows. I have no platform at this point. And so I really give so much credit to my life coach for encouraging me that there was value to my story, which obviously now I can see in hindsight, but it wasn't without that extra push that I don't know if I would have given it a go. And it's changed my life.
Ooh, I love that answer. I'm looking at one of my clients here. Looking, there you go. She's writing hers right now. Jen, did you have something to share on that?
Sure. Yeah, I said it a little bit earlier, but I think it's really the people I was already connecting with on social media who, when I started sharing parts of my story as part of this 100-day project on Instagram in 2020, you know, when people would reach out to me and say, oh my gosh, you know, this is me too. And are you writing a book? And I thought, gosh, I've wanted to write a book since I was like 3 and I had a little typewriter and I would pretend I was writing a book. And I was like, maybe this is the book that I'm meant to write. And I am brand new to the publishing world. I didn't know the first thing about how to make that happen. And I was part of a writing community that helped to sort of, I don't know, just do the logistical pieces of like, what is a book proposal? How do you do this? And, you know, learned a lot about that along the way. I'm still learning a lot about the publishing piece of it along the way. But yeah, I think it was really just those first connections with people who resonated with my story.
Cool. What about you, Melissa?
It was during the pandemic, I had pulled out some old writing that I had done early on. And I sent an email, which was a little bit out of character for me because I didn't really know this person I was sending it to, other than that I knew she was in the writing world. And I said, so, you know, basically, this is my story. Would anyone be interested in this? Or, you know, pun intended, should I put it back in the closet? Because that's where it was, buried deep in the closet. And she said, well, I'd be interested. And one thing led to another, and it started to shape up. And I started to realize, you know, this is what I needed. And all those golden nuggets that people had shared with me, they were too good. And I wanted to share them with others who were going through that same journey as well.
Awesome. How many of you either came out or realized your sexuality during the pandemic? Oh, all right. I thought all of them would raise their hand. All right. There's a question here that says, what is your relationship with your ex-husbands today?
I'll start. We are best friends. When we met, he knew that I was queer, and he's always known that. My kid always knew that from the time they were born. But yeah, he lives about 5 minutes away, and we co-parent our 17-year-old. So we have a great relationship, but it was hard. It was hard to, you know, make this change happen and the form that our family was taking. And I had a lot of guilt about that at the time. And really, like, he worked with me slowly through that process. We experimented with consensual non-monogamy for a few years before realizing we needed to separate and then eventually divorce. He has been my biggest cheerleader, or one of my biggest cheerleaders, in my book coming out. Like, he read it and took pages of notes, and we sat down for tea, and like, he told me all of his feedback. And yeah, so we have a great relationship right now. And I know that that is rare, or I'm hearing from a lot of my clients and people that that can be a rare situation. So I feel fortunate about that. But yeah, it wasn't without a lot of hurt and work and couples therapy.
Anyone else?
I'll jump in as well, because my journey continues. And in the beginning, my husband was very supportive. As things went on, he was less supportive. He was angry. He was hurt. I get it. It's a horrible thing. And I do. Somebody asked about the guilt. It is. It's hard to hurt people you love. But fast forward. So we had disconnected for a long time. And we just reconnected literally 2 weeks ago. And so it's a brand new journey. It went really, really well. And I'm hoping that we can kind of pick up that thread of co-parenting, which is what I always wanted, because I think it's important for me, for him, for the kids. And so to be continued.
Did either of you feel, you know, that guilt as well as that question that we had, and or a fear of hurting your spouse?
For sure. Yeah.
The guilt still surprises me at times when it comes up, and it's usually the unexpected ways as well. I feel like it gets easier as time goes on, and obviously with more coaching and talk therapy and craniosacral therapy and all the therapies you could throw on it. But it's a hard process. I mean, there's so many emotions involved. There's hearts involved. You know, I had a similar story with Melissa. Like, we started out okay. And then, you know, my ex and I really, we are cordial adults, but we don't have the relationship that I hoped we would have. So.
Okay. Jillian, I think this next one might be for you. Tips to get through the shit show of the messy middle.
Jack Daniel's honey whiskey is coming to mind, but that's a no. Don't. No. Wow. Yeah. I really think for me, it was building community. And one of the things I talk about in my books is I had somebody who had me do an exercise called the 3 C's, where they said, write down everything that brings you comfort in your life, write down all of the community in your life, and write down everything that is still within your control in your life, because a messy middle feels like chaos and like everything is out of your control. And the reality is there's still a lot of things that we can control. So I don't know, read some memoirs, connect with some groups of people who have been there and gone through the things. They'll have excellent advice for you as well. But also, I just want to send a huge hug to the person I'm trying to scroll back where that was in the chat, because like, I know how hard the messy middle is. It's hard to go back and read my story and think about ever having to go through that again. Like if there was a time machine, I don't know if I would do it again, but knowing how challenging it was along the way, it would be so hard to go through it again. So my big hugs to you, and we're here for you. Good luck. Stay away from the honey whiskey. It's not going to help.
Anyone else have a tip that you want to share to get through that part?
Well, I'll jump in. Yeah, to the honey whiskey, just a little bit in a hot toddy at night sometimes, you know, just help you sleep. That messy middle is real, and you want to, you know, forge forward somewhere, even though you don't really know where you're going and you have all those questions. And that's where you just need that patience. You need that support, that community. Sit tight. You get through it. It doesn't feel like it. It hurts. Like Jillian, I just had to relive my story because I recorded the audio and I went through it to do some trimming some fat, if you will, did a little editing, but I had to read through it. And yeah, that's hard. That was hard. And I love when people reach out to me and say, I'm on the other side. Thank you for reminding me what I went through. Right. Mm-hmm. Because we tend to forget sometimes when we're on the other side. And sometimes I think we should remember that we did this and we did it for a reason. And other people are going through it now. So also, you know, reach out to people, to the person that sent that question, you know, like Jillian, my heart to you. You've got people here you can reach out to. And even if it's just to check in, I know for me, it was critical to have somebody to check in with during that time. I felt really alone. You now have a community of people, people that are on the other side, people that are going through it at the same time. You're not alone. You're not alone. Hunker down, you get there, but reach out if you need help.
Yeah. I will say this, as a coach, I've come to learn that the messy middle is what makes you. And that's really why y'all are here, right? Would you have a book if you didn't have that messy middle? No.
No.
And definitely community. And that's one of the reasons why I created Club Lilies, was so that my clients would have people to connect with and to know that they weren't alone and that could share each other's stories to get through that. Jen, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I'll definitely echo the community sentiment and therapy, coaching. For me, it was really wonderful to have a coach during that time. And that's why I, as a coach, love to work with people who are going through this and, you know, individually and in groups. I feel like, you know, I'm always recommending Club Lilies to my clients as well, because I think it's so important to, or just validating and normalizing to hear stories of other people, even though they're all different and different varieties of relationships. And, but there's this humanness that is expressed during this time. And I feel like seeing yourself mirrored in other people's stories, which, you know, visibility, again, back to the theme, I think that can be so healing. So, yeah, I think just that sort of support, as well as like aligning to and staying aligned with your own integrity. For me, it was like really not abandoning myself, and just staying tuned inward toward what it is that who I am and what I'm wanting, because I felt like that was something that in the first act of my life I had, you know, just done what was expected of me rather than really looking inward for what I wanted. So I think just also keeping an eye and ear turned inward. So did lots of writing, lots of journaling. Things became the book eventually. So yeah, and in my book, I have a lot of writing prompts for people as well. Writing is like such therapy for me, as well as art. So I would suggest that too.
Absolutely. I don't know how any of us would answer this next question here, how to get through your first lesbian heartbreak. I don't even know. You just gotta go through.
Shit, I'm passing on that.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, it's part of the welcome to the club.
Yeah. I mean, there's coaches for that too. So
I will say therapy.
Yeah. I feel it.
EMDR.
We're human. We're all human. We all get that heartbreak, and that's what brings us all together. All right. So we'll do one last question here. What is next? So what's next for y'all? How does this journey continue? And I want to start on that.
I love this question because writing a book, it's interesting. It's a static object, right? And we aren't. And so it was funny, once that's out there, it's like, this is a snapshot in time. So for me, I feel like, you know, things have evolved and changed since my book has been out in the world and people are reading it and relating to that. But it's been really fun for me to continue writing. I publish a Substack every week on Mondays. It's called Prism. It's under my name on there if you want to look for it. But it has like more updated writing on these sorts of themes. And I think that that feels like a fun next thing for me. It's a little more casual writing and a little, yeah, freer. So that feels great. And I'm just, yeah, also continuing to work with clients on these types of things as well. So yeah, that's more, I guess, in the professional realm. And the personal realm, I'm still dating the woman that I introduced in chapter 9 of my book. And we will have been together 5 years this October. Yeah, thanks. So that's going well as well. How about you guys?
Jillian?
Oh, sure. So I actually have just submitted my next book to a publisher. So there should be another book baby in the future. But right now I write professionally, and which has really also been a wonderful thing that has not only happened because of coming out, but the value of having a book in the world is it gives you so much more street cred as a writer, even though my background, like I said, I was an accountant. So so now I have my dream job of, I'm a professional storyteller. I ghostwrite stories for a lot of business leaders and thought leaders who have a lot of ideas and just need to put them down on paper, which is really wonderful. Otherwise, Jen and I just got married in December. And so we're finally no longer a long distance relationship anymore. For anyone who read the story, she's here in Florida now. So we are starting our banana and mango farm out in the backyard. You know, like, isn't that the lesbian dream? I don't know. So anyways.
Absolutely.
What about you, Melissa?
So I, my journey continues. I continue to write, and similar, you know, opportunities have popped up. I've been writing, collaborating with actually a magazine in South Florida, published a couple of things, and I'm working on a project with them that'll take me through this next year. And I am going back to studying with some authors that I respect to continue to develop my writing. The skill, the craft, and yeah, my journey just continues.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to go a little bit over today, if that's okay with you guys, because I would love, we have one more giveaway that can happen. So you have one more chance to go for it now. We're going to end the night with another signed 3-pack of books. Again, sorry, Canadians and anyone who's not in the continental US, my bad. All right, so for a chance to win, type in the comments, how do you want to tell your story? Tell us, how do you want to tell your story? And while you're doing that, I would love it if each of you could just read a little piece from your book, if that's cool. I would love to hear it. And I don't know who would love to, like, to start.
Yeah, I can go if you don't mind. I'm right here. So this is one of the most common highlighted screenshots that I get from folks. It says, what seems to be a common misconception about the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community is that their identity boils down to who they're having sex with. After all, if you've ever heard someone say, what you do behind closed doors is none of my business, then you see what I mean about queer relationships being nothing more than what happens in the bedroom. I wasn't looking for just sex. To me, being a lesbian was more than just the sum of the parts between my partner's legs. I wanted the experience of loving with my whole heart. I wanted to love without a wall that blocked me from trusting and letting go. I wanted the deep conversation with all the words, so many words, every single day. I wanted all the emotions, the vulnerability, the surrender, and the nurturing. I wanted my mind set ablaze by a witty, wild, and independent woman who defied the cultural norms of believing she had to be cared for by a man. I wanted the whole life, not just the sex.
Ooh, that's so freaking true.
So oh, true.
Thank you, Jen.
Which part to read? Okay. This is just in the beginning of chapter two. I remember watching Who's the Boss as a kid and trying to decide whether I wanted to be Alyssa Milano or if I wanted to kiss her. Nearly every intimate or sexual fantasy I've had in my life has centered around, or at least included, a woman. Throughout grade school and early adulthood, I had crushes on probably a dozen female friends with whom I had deep connection. Through these real-life crushes, I discovered that the emotional bond needed to be strong in order for me to feel attraction towards someone, an identity that's sometimes known as demisexual. The types of emotional relationships I experienced with girls, and now women, fostered attraction more easily than the connections I had made with boys and men. Yet I found myself exclusively in romantic relationships with men up to and including my marriage. I grew up in a conservative environment in the South. As a teenager with very little exposure to or modeling of acceptance around queer relationships, I didn't talk with my friends about my attraction to women. I wasn't even aware that queer relationships were an option. I was years away from a time and states away from a place where queer love was sanctioned. Even so, my first kiss was with a girl, and then it goes off.
Ooh, y'all are, I want to read all of these now. Melissa, let's see here.
So I'm going to read a section because it is Lesbian Visibility Week. This is me doing that deep dive and, you know, figuring out how different my life is going to be now. So I've accepted, I figured out that I'm gay, but I'm wrestling a little bit with how I got here and how life is going to be different. And I have developed some feelings for a woman, and we're out in Manhattan during this scene, and I touch her hair, but nobody knows we're dating. So she responds to that, not very well. I didn't mean to cross the line. I know that Vivian is uncomfortable with public displays of affection. Members of her church frequent the city, so she worries not only about being seen, but about our personal safety. I need to think about things I never had to consider when I was with my husband. I've lived for so long on the side of straight privilege. It's difficult to adjust. I am struck in this moment, not for the first time, how different my life is now. Public outings with a partner will require more consideration and much more caution. Since I'm Jewish, that is not an entirely foreign concept. I already have a somewhat guarded demeanor, a learned behavior, from experiencing my fair share of Jewish jokes and comments over the years. But this is another level. Now I consider the triple offense in some people's eyes of being gay and female and Jewish, a trifecta. What reactions might I expect when I'm ready to hold hands with a woman as we walk down the street together? My conviction to no longer be defined by my roles or labels grows stronger. I'm adamant about being seen as a unique individual. If I followed a predetermined path and played the role of wife because it was expected, now I stand alongside other women on this cold December night who are extricating themselves from societal, familiar, and cultural mandates. We are attempting to free ourselves to make personal choices based on who we see ourselves to be, not how others want us to be. That label trap that threatens the very essence of who we are.
Woo! Awesome. All right. I would love to hear from y'all. Anyone who's watching, how do they find your books? Where can they find them? I don't know if you want to unmute and tell us, or you could type it in the comments and let them know, maybe unmute. How do people find, is it on Amazon everywhere, or just where's the best place to get it?
Yeah, you can find my paperback, ebook, or audiobook on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you are outside of the US, any of the major book retailers should have it available. And also the Queer Liberation Library, which is a free library that's available to, I believe, most folks in the United States, also carries the ebook of Perfectly Queer.
Awesome.
Great.
Go
ahead, Melissa.
I was just saying you could find mine also anywhere books are sold. The ebook is there, the paperback is there, but the audio will be coming out next month, and you'll be able to get that as well. Yay. Go ahead, Jen.
Gosh, what you said about recording the audiobook and reliving it is so true. Yeah, Midlife Emergence is available wherever you like to buy books online, basically, or you can ask your local independent bookstores to order it for you. Amazon has my book in paperback, ebook, and audiobook, read by me, for those who like to listen to books like I do. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's right there.
All right. Somebody said, hey, we got some reading to do. Anyone else? Some reading to do? All right. And our final winner tonight of the three packs, so you don't have to go to those places to get your book, is Leslie Kearns. I think that's how you pronounce your last name, or maybe Leslie. Awesome. And Jillian will get your address there. And so that's it. We're wrapping it up tonight. And first and foremost, I want to thank all of you for joining us. It's super, super, super important to share your story. You know, I know so often people are like, why do they need a day? Why do they need a week? Why do they need a month? What? The reason is, I know there was a little girl named Jamie Messina back in the day who had no one to look to and thought that there was something wrong with them and just hid her entire, well, till she was 18, just really feeling not enough or like something was wrong, and really needed to see other people like y'all out here doing what you're doing. And I'm super grateful that you were vulnerable and shared your story with all of us, that I met y'all through Club Lilies, which was just created to connect people who were going through similar situations, who didn't know that other people were out there that were going through the same thing as them, and then just became this amazing community of people. And I'm just super grateful that you joined us here tonight, that you shared, and I can't wait to get my reading done as well. Thank you for joining tonight, and
happy Lesbian Visibility Week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Happy Lesbian Visibility Week. Thank you.
And I'm sure if you all want to follow along with them, you can find them on social media or Facebook, Instagram, all the things. And yeah, anything else before we get going that you want to share?
Yeah, you can find me. Jenberlingo.com has like links to books, coaching, all the things. So social media.
I also want to give a quick shout out to the Curve Foundation, also who has really worked so hard for so many months now and years and lifetimes to promote Lesbian Visibility Week. So thank you for the Curve community for putting this event up on their website as well. Sorry, I just saw it in the comments there and I was like, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I second that. And I agree. Beyond the Curve was excellent. I highly recommend it. Should be mandatory watching.
Well, yeah. And thank you all for coming on. Thank you for being brave, for showing up, for putting your face on the camera. I can't wait to see your books. Maybe we'll have another panel with y'all up here with us. How many of you feel inspired after hearing the stories tonight, or feel a little more connected to the community? And I know that I do. And I'm just excited to see where we go as a community and the things that come about from this. And thank you again for joining us. Have an awesome rest of your Lesbian Visibility Week, and I will see y'all soon. Have a good night.